Hi, I'm Mr. I Hardly Know Her, and this is the Tony Soto Show.
Mr. Hard, yes. Welcome, and thank you for coming to the Tony Soto Show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, girl, it's what I do. It's what I do. I like to have... Oh, wait, that's gay girl. You know what
yes,
I mean?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
drag girl.
No, yeah, I'm in. I'm okay. in. We're good. Thank
okay,
you for
good.
Clarifying that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta make sure that people know that that is a drag queen girl. Can you just talk for a minute? Talk for a minute?
Let yes, make sure hi.
Yeah, you sound great. Okay,
okay, great.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mr. Hard was a fabulous drag king that competed multiple times.
Yes.
In my WoHo show that is now RIP.
You compete multiple times when you lose. That's
you
what
do.
Happens.
You do. I encourage the losers to come back and be better. I think that that is motivating.
Rude.
However, was it motivating?
Well, I guess I have a follow-up question. Did my drag get better?
I mean, look, I feel like there were performers that came through that experience.
Yes.
That already has had conceptual ideas of who they were and what their drag represented.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have the votes coming from the audience.
Yes.
You know, there wasn't the turnout that I feel like there were a lot of, I think that a lot of drag competitions, the right person doesn't win them because of it. They're all audience participation.
Yeah.
If it comes to like an amateur drag competition.
Yes.
Now you are a drag king.
Yes.
But, and I love me a drag king. You know, I had Dusty Balls as a co-host on this show for many, many years. One of the best drag kings out there.
Love it.
I'm a fan of drag kings. I feel like you have all come a very long way
mm-hmm.
from when I started doing drag because drag kings were like, they would put on denim, a white t-shirt, and they would pencil on the mustache
yes.
and wear sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was drag kingage. However,
yes.
It's gotten campier. Kings have gotten campier. They have embraced it. But I look at you as like a performer that has even kind of surpassed that because you are a hodgepodge of feminine and masculine when it comes to your drag. That's why I feel comfortable being like, hey, girl,
yes.
with you as a drag king because you can't always
yes.
have gay girl talk with
sometimes,
drag kings.
Yeah, and everyone's, you know, gender identity is different, and some things are triggering for some people and not for others. So for me, hell yeah, girl, whatever you want to call me. But I think like I definitely started thinking that, and your show was the first one that I ever did. So
oh really?
The first time you saw me was the first time I ever did drag.
Oh shit! Did I knew that though? Right? You told me that. Did
I think
you tell
I did
me that?
Because okay. I lied to get in. To the show, like I said, oh yeah, I've done this before, and then because Maxwell was like, you need to have done it before, and then afterwards I was like, by the way, that was my first time, and you're like, okay. But I had performed before, so I was like, I knew that I could kind of pull it off. But yeah, I started out being like, oh, I'm gonna do male.
That was your first time. And you didn't have to tell me that. I would not have thought that. Truthfully, because I was just like, oh, well, because like, here's the thing. It's like, it's an amateur drag competition.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's going to be crunch. You know, I know there's going to be crunch.
Yes.
But like, you got to look past the crunch at an amateur drag competition. You got to look at the full concept. And I felt like you had a full concept. So were you like
Thank
sitting
you.
On it though? Were you like one of these like people who were like, I want to be a drag king. I want to do drag. If I was a drag king, I would. Was that like you?
Maybe for like 9 months prior to doing it. But I always have always loved drag. And John Waters and Divine are like my favorite. Like that was like since college, I was obsessed with them. And even in high school too. So I feel like it was always around me and I always loved it. And then I was kind of going through this thing where I was feeling like I was not able to use my voice in a lot of like creative settings. And I was feeling like a lot of anxiety and I just needed something that was just mine to develop and to like have a catharsis through.
Yeah.
And I was like, I should try drag because, and like embrace some more of my masculinity, because this was something that I had kind of like pushed down a lot. So this is why I feel like I am a drag king, and that's why I.
Are you a soft les?
I'm a bisexual.
Oh, you're a bisexual.
Or a pansexual.
Oh, even. A pansexual. And, she's like, just throw it at me.
Anything you got. I love it. I just think people are hot. I love it.
But do you feel like you're more femme presenting in that?
Yes. Yeah. I think I think that I have moved into a more androgynous area of drag. At first I was like male impersonation, and now I'm realizing like, it's okay to just kind of embrace whatever it is that I'm trying to emulate. And then like, we've talked about this, but I love glamorous stuff. And I think that sometimes that can go missing in drag. And whenever I see people who I'm like, I'm wearing more sequins than you. What are you criticizing me for? So I guess, and that's viewed as like traditionally feminine.
Yes,
I've
checked the boxes.
Yeah. But you know, like David Bowie, Freddie Mercury, Prince, these are all like glamorous men. And I think I feel like in my head, that's who I am.
I get that because it's like, I feel like it's like, the idea of being a drag king, you know, I mean, I remember like on Drag Race when it was such a big deal when Milk wore pants that one time.
And
now you have like, you know, mustache-showed drag queens.
Yes.
And all this and all that. And it's like, I think that if you're a female presenting person who wants to do drag, it's like you don't always have to go all the way to the butch. Like there's a lot of really prominent femme rockers, you know,
totally,
that like the glam.
Absolutely. And if that's like who you are and you want to go super butch with like your masculine drag, I love that. I think that the more people that I've talked to who are like interested in becoming drag kings or like are like, oh, I've always wanted to try that, I'm like, it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to put yourself in a situation of expressing yourself in a way that makes you uncomfortable. So if you love like feminine stuff, then you can, your drag can be that.
Right.
And you can still be like, I'm a drag king. I think people get, it's like for queer people, we
get so into labels when it comes to our inner stuff. It's like, who cares? Are you doing drag? Great. Fantastic.
Yeah. I think like also, cause I have huge tits, so they're very hard to like hide.
Is that a painful thing to bind? I've always wondered.
For me, it is. Like, and usually what happens is like the tape will just rip off my chest and then I'm like, are my boobs fully showing right now? Like, and some people like love to show their tits. I'm not totally one of those people.
Yeah.
But I think that I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to really achieve that full masculine like look because of the shape of my body. Mm-hmm. But I think that for me, I just decided to like embrace that and make that part of my drag. Like, it's okay, you know, wearing a corset. So having this kind of like, there's tits out, but then I slap some chest hair on top of it, some fake chest hair. And then it's like, I'm looking at tits, but there's hair on them. And then I'm like, not really sure.
You make
sure.
People wonder. You're like, oh, I don't get it. It's like, oh my God, I don't know what words I could say to that because I don't know what they're offended by.
Literally. And then I'm like, I like to scare people a little bit.
Keep them on their toes. Yeah. That's drag. You know, that's the counterculture of it all. Wait, what's your background?
My background is I grew up in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Chicago because I like to say that because I'm like, San Diego is, you know, Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Got it.
But, I've been doing like comedy since I was like,
so you're comedy. You're a writer. You went to school for writing.
Yeah, I didn't do that much writing in school. I did it like not as part of my coursework. So I ran the satirical newspaper I went to Boston University.
Oh, okay.
And I would like make fun of our dean and our president because they suck and they were just like
fun,
so like out of touch with the students there. So that was like my main kind of like writing thing there. And I did some sketch comedy as well. And then moved out to LA. And
when did you move out here?
2018.
Oh shit, right before.
Yeah, so I really had like 2 years, but those 2 years I went through a breakup, and those 2 years feel like so vibrant to me because I was out. I mean, that's when I started going to Learn the Words, Bitch. Yeah, I lived right around the corner from Akbar, and Akbar became just like my home bar that my best friend and I from college, like, we would go there every weekend.
Basically. Love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the best. And, you know, I was drinking way too much, and I had such a good time, and I was sleeping with everyone, and it was amazing. And then the whole world shut down, and I was like, oh, I have to confront myself.
Yeah, it's time to reflect. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and you're gonna be doing that for a while, because yeah. we were the last city, I think, to open up in any way.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. Now, so you got to live here and experience LA pre-pandemic, which I was just having a conversation last night. I was at Danny Francese, friend of the pod. Shout out to Danny Francese, happy birthday, baby. I was at his birthday party on the roof, and we were talking about LA, and I was like, talking to these people who came here post pandemic.
Oh yes.
And I was like, the city was fun.
They don't get
it. Like, we were like, truthfully, when the city was fun. Like 2015 to 2020, like, our 19 was, well, 2019 started to suck for me, actually. It got a little hairy there at the end. But like, before all that, I was like, the city was great. Cause like, it's rough now. Yeah.
And people just don't seem like that excited to be anywhere now.
Yeah.
Like, and like, we've talked about this too at shows, like, getting people to come to a show, they're like, they've done a favor for you by coming to your show. Yeah. And you're like, it's a drag show. Yeah. Have some goddamn fun.
Yeah, it's entertainment. But like, it's like, you know, listen, without us, this establishment wouldn't be functioning correctly. You
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't know if it was like because I was new to LA at that time, or if it was because that's how LA was. So I feel like that's where I was like, is this something that now I see new people moving in, and I'm like, oh, you're so full of hope.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I would imagine like you had the whirlwind first 2 years. I tell everyone, I'm like, you'll know you love LA or hate it within 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you were forced in confinement, and now the world's different. What do you think of the town now?
You know, I think I was struggling until I started doing drag. And then once I was like more engrossed in the community again, it feels a lot better now.
Yeah.
And I feel like I know more people now. So, but before that, it was feeling very isolating, and I felt like I was just going to work, and most of work was on Zoom. Like,
yeah, right. Well, that's interesting, because, you know, it's like, I love to hear stories from drag kings that are like positive in ways that they're like, you know, oh, have found like community. Have you found community like in the LA drag scene?
Yeah, I'm in a drag house in Long Beach and that started because I did this competition at Hamburger Mary's in Long Beach. But the positive from that competition was that I met my drag family, and there's a bunch of drag kings in it, and also drag queens, and we have like a clown, and it's just like kind of a weird spicy group of people.
Do you live in Long Beach?
No, I live in Koreatown.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only one that lives up here.
Oh, got it.
And so I end up doing a lot of shows in Long Beach because they are all in Long Beach.
Got it.
But it's really nice. Like, they basically, I felt like I'm trying to do this thing with my drag, and maybe you saw a little bit of this too, but I couldn't execute it. And then I feel like they really taught me how to execute it. And they were like, okay, this is your vision, or this is your sense of humor, or whatever. Like, how do we bring that to life?
Yeah.
And then through that stuff, I kind of started doing it on my own. And now I feel like a lot more capable. And they've just really been there for me. And like, and it's been like just so cool to make new friends at this part of my life. I feel like when you're 22, it's easy to just like make a bunch of new friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm almost 28 now, so to be able to, like...
Ooh, getting out of those 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
How are your 20s? You like them? Listen, I barely remember mine these days, so it's like, do you think you'll remember them?
I think it will be a blur, because we had a whole-ass pandemic that I am truly blacking out in memory. I feel like there are effects from that, like, we will still not know until like 10 years from now.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty much broken the system. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely
100%.
Like, it's like made people quite aware. It's like, oh God. Yeah. It's all smoke and mirrors and crazy. And like,
yeah, I don't know what's real and what's like, yeah, I had like, basically the pandemic, the stress from the pandemic spurred like endometriosis within me, which is like a disease on your uterus.
Oh my God. And so I just, remember we talked about
it. I did
that.
It the day after the Battle Babies finals. I got it removed.
Oh my God.
But so now it's better, but it can grow back. But literally it's all stress hormones that causes that. So
really?
I truly feel like the.
Are you medicated? Do you take.
It's just birth control that they give you.
Oh. No, I mean, like, hormones. Are you on like antidepressants and shit?
No. Maybe I should be, though.
I don't know.
My whole life, I'm like, yeah, I should stop like trying to drink green smoothies and maybe just go on antidepressants.
Listen, if you've avoided them up to now, don't start doing them now.
Just
I don't know.
Run.
At this point, it's like, it's because you know, are you an actor? Are you out there? Do you audition?
Totally.
So
I don't audition. No.
Because like you know, you see. You just see on the TV how much Big Pharma really does run.
Oh my God.
The advertising. And you know, I know that, you know, because I get notices for those fucking commercials
to
audition.
I'm a comedian and a drag queen. I'm not
I'm like, it's all non-union.
Yeah.
So you're going to get paid a lump sum and then they're going to play the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You're going to be dancing around for Ozempic for the next 6 years or more.
Rizzy, Sizzy,
yeah,
Rizzy, or whatever.
Exactly. They're going to be like, oh, he's like, you're irritable bowels forever. I'm like, it's not worth it. It's like that and like golden era. It's like, I will not fucking audition for you, Scientology. Like, leave me alone. So how's the writing game then? Because I know a lot of writers. I know of writers that are currently in rooms. I know ones that wish they were.
Yes.
What's it like out there to be, cause you write for the TV.
I do. I work on the show Not Dead Yet, and which is on ABC and Hulu. So go check it out so that we can get another season so I can pay for my drag to continue to exist. But yeah, it's like, okay, so I would say since the strike, I really thought in October everything was going to like totally come back, and now it looks like we're looking at another strike, an IATSE strike potentially.
Yeah, they've been holding on to that. They've been stretching that possibly out for a while though. So what, you're just like sitting there like
we're just
with your asses clenched?
They're not buying anything. Like ultimately it does come down to capitalism, because these like huge corporations are just not buying scripts right now, and they are like bleeding people dry. They wanted to cut the workforce by like 30%.
I mean, this is the problem when you let fucking non-artistic people run artistic. Like, it's like, you know, they say in a fascist thing, the first thing to go is art. And
yes.
And that I think is true, especially when the fascists take over the art.
Yeah, like if it's entirely being run by money, I think a lot of people have said this in their like acceptance speeches or whatever, but it's like, what if you took $100 million and made 10 million dollar movies instead of making these like, and Baby Reindeer, this like show that's on Netflix now that's popping off. It's like, this was an independent artist.
I've heard about that show. Is that, but that's a scripted show, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. It's like a TV show.
I don't have any of the streaming services. I am openly boycotting. Once Netflix tried the password share, I was like, you aren't making that what good of stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing is like, I don't even think I was sharing my password with anybody. Oh no, that's not true. I was sharing my password with a couple of friends. But I was like, yeah, you're making me have a conversation, an awkward conversation with someone who I don't talk to regularly about, hey, I can't fucking let you keep my Netflix password.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Like, you're like, after a pandemic?
How dare you do this to my bank account?
Like, I will pay for, at this point, I'm like, I should just keep paying for cable. I should just go back to cable. It makes the same sense. I'm watching the same commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, because now on like Hulu, it's all commercial options. I think Netflix has that too.
They're all commercials.
But this is the thing too. It's like this burnout of viewership. Everyone, I just did some like traveling and seeing family and stuff, and it was just like the kind of thing where every single person I talked to was like, I don't even know what app to go on. I don't know where to find shows.
Yeah.
And
they're making us sound like boomers. Making us sound like that. Like,
truly.
First of all, like, we shouldn't be like, first of all, we shouldn't be looking on our little computers on what to watch. Like, we sat in our apartments for 3 years, okay? Watching everything.
Yes.
Consuming everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even when you try to make those bullshit pandemic sitcoms that we were supposed to suddenly relate to, oh, yeah, I'm watching my own family on Zoom.
Yes.
Like, I don't need to watch
a different Zoom, like a airing of what Yeah, they did like Parks and
I mean, I love that it gave my friend Parvesh a job. I love you, Parv. I want you to work. But no one watched the show.
Yeah, no, everyone was just like, okay, yeah.
So you're here. You're living here. You're thriving. Yeah. We'll put those in quotes.
Yeah, I'm totally thriving. Everything's great. No problem.
So outside of like doing drag and then, I mean, I find this like, I'm currently coming out, I think, of a creative funk. We talked about this pre-recording.
Yes.
When everything you do is creative.
Yeah.
Does sometimes you just sit around and like stare at a wall or I found out you're not good at math.
What
do you just do? Mundane shit? Is there anything like mundane that you do, or is it all just making things?
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is like kind of a problem I have is that like, I have to calm down. I need to calm down. I think everybody in my life would say and agree with that since I was like 16. It's like, why are you so much? But even this, okay. It's like when I do other stuff, I'm like, ooh, how could I like incorporate this in some way? Or I don't know, whatever. But I do, love seeing the WNBA games because
I'm
a true queer in that way.
They are kicking ass. It's so fun to watch.
I love when like a league gets like stars out of it because it makes people excited to watch it. So like Caitlin Clark, no matter how you feel about her, she's attracting people to go watch women's basketball. Yeah.
I have no feelings towards her. I just remember I know that she is great at what she does. And I know that she took my attention during the podcasting episode of Drag Race this season, because I host at that bar at 33 Taps.
Oh yes.
And the Caitlin Clark game was more interesting. Iowa took my attention.
Iowa.
Because fucking I didn't want to hear a bunch of drag queens talk about, oh, I'm so sad. It's like,
and then you're like watching her shoot threes and you're like, holy shit.
I'm like, look at that girl. Like, she's really slaying, you know?
Which also is like, I feel like my taste in drag is like, I want to see something that I'm like, what the fuck? Like, out loud, verbally, like, what the fuck am I watching right now? And that's how I feel too when I watch the WNBA. I'm like, oh my God.
So, do you go to drag shows? Do you attend drag shows like around the towns and whatnot?
Yeah. I like have been, sometimes I go through periods where I get really holed up in my apartment and I just like,
it's expensive. It's expensive to go to it because like here's the thing, like when you got like, so there was a drag performance at this party I was at last night on a rooftop randomly, and I'm like, I don't have
fancy
cash. Like, I'm like, I don't have cash, like I'm gonna have to Venmo this girl, I'm gonna have to ask for the Venmo so I can, like, because it's like, you know, the one thing is you don't want to be a drag artist not tipping at a drag show.
I know, that's what I showed
with
up
with no cocktail in your hand, you know what I mean? I was there drinking water.
Yeah, and you're like, I love you, I support, but as you know, you're not getting any money because I'm not getting any money. Yeah.
People are like, why don't you ever go to fucking drag shows? I'm like, it is expensive.
You're looking at like a $40 to $60 night.
I mean, I'm blessed. I don't really pay for drinks at bars I go to, which is, you know, I don't know how I stumbled into that. Shout out to the bars I drink at.
You know, I was with Karma Spice, and we were at Stash, and I'm like, do you want me to, I'll grab you a drink, and she's like, oh, thanks. And then the bartender just like gave her a drink for free, and I was like, damn, I wouldn't have paid had I known that you could just get free drinks. And she was like, I meant to tell you. And I was just like, do I have to chop off my titties? Like, what do I need to do? Go to a straight bar is
really
what I need to do.
Here's the thing. I don't know. I don't know how I looped into it because I don't think people were giving me free drinks because they want to fuck me. You know what I mean? I don't think that's
why.
You're
just like, chill. They're like, we got Tony.
And when I started here, I was coming off living in Chicago where they can convinced me I was a wild drunk, and I then came here and I was like I tried that on for a couple of years and realized I'm like, I'm not a wild drunk. And like, the thing I loved about this town the most is it's not a shot town.
No,
like,
yeah.
People like, you know, you very rarely hear, hey, you want to do shot? Like, and I'm like, oh, so refreshing.
That's at the bachelorette party I was at this weekend, they were like, everybody, we're doing shots. And I was like, what? Yeah. Are we in college?
Yeah, excuse me.
I can't do a shot. Yeah. I'll be sipping my little.
Yeah, you're still a baby right now, girl. You're like, you're still 28 and young, but give you two more years and you're going to start feeling those 3-day hangovers.
Hell no. I can't do it.
I have become a daytime drinker. I'm like, listen, if I can't get it done between 3 and 7, I have no need to do it.
Well,
like,
day drinking is truly the secret.
I mean, it really is. I got a little drunk yesterday during the day, and I was like, it's a Sunday. You feel like it's fine to, like, you know, stumble around a little bit. And, but there is one thing about the real drunk stumble home at 7 p.m. because it's like, especially in the summer, because you still have a good hour and a half, 2 hours of sun.
It's broad daylight.
You're like holding on to like fences that aren't yours.
Yes.
So, I mean, that wasn't me yesterday, but it has
been. You're like, no one make eye contact with me because you'll know right away.
I like to drink still. I like to be drunk. I just don't like the after effects of it. And
oh my God. And then I get so anxious and depressed too. And I'm like, what did I say? Do people think I'm weird?
Yeah, that's never an issue for me. I guarantee I will offend somebody in some way. I will have said something. Some of my friends hang out for me with me for that reason. They're like, oh, when she gets drunk, she just says words.
This, I need that attitude because I wake up the next morning with crippling anxiety. I'm like, everybody saw me. And, you know, like writers' rooms, we drink together. So you're with your coworkers and you're drunk. And
yeah.
You're like, oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It's very incestuous. Huh?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. They see it at worst.
Yeah. And even if you're not working on a show together at the time.
Do you get drunk at drag shows?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, not when
you're in drag.
No, not when I'm in drag. Yeah. No. Not when I'm performing. Part of it is like a physical thing. Like, I just want to make sure I'm not going to like pull a hamstring.
Yeah, bitch.
Because I did do that.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. And I just feel like my timing, my comedic timing with when I'm lip syncing is not as sharp as if I've had like two drinks.
Yeah.
I could do one drink maybe.
Yeah.
But then I think if I was hosting more, which is like definitely a goal of mine, I've told you like I look up to your hosting so much because you're so funny and so engaging and you create so many like communities through your hosting that come to your shows regularly and everyone becomes friends.
Bunch of ungrateful fuckers though. No, I'm kidding.
We're grateful. We just don't tell you. But yeah, I think that's something that if I was hosting, I might be more comfortable like drinking because it kind of like flows out of you.
My Chicago days, I would host things that, and I just remember they would line up shots of Jameson because that was my brown liquor days. And I would go through like 12 shots and I would have to call my friends the next day and be like, was I funny? And they were like, oh, you were great. So I just knew that I could do it.
Yeah.
And now I don't drink when I'm for the most part, like
when you're hosting,
like if I do learn the words bitch now, I'm sober, like I'm not, because like I don't consume calories after 7 because I'd much rather be skinny than drunk. So
that's a great policy.
I do it all night, but if it's a brunch, if it's a brunch,
then you're drinking.
Oh, if you get me in at 4, I'm in there at 4 until when? Oh yes, I'm drinking.
So it's really a day drinking thing, less than a in drag hosting.
Yeah. But it really kind of like makes my weekends less fun because all my friends want a night drink. And I'm like, so like when they're ready to go at 9,
I'm at home.
Like I'm at home, I'm watching the TV. I'm playing video games with fucking Shea Coulee and her partner Dan. You know what I mean?
What are your favorite video games?
So we do the DVD.
Okay.
Because drag queens love trauma.
Yes.
And we like to run from it.
Yes.
And then we do a lot of Fortnite.
Okay.
So
love it.
Do you play video games?
Not really. No, but I've been around.
Are you just conditioned to ask that question now when people talk about video games?
Well, I'm always curious.
Because I would imagine you hang out with a bunch of male writers and they're awful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah. Because I'm assuming they're also comedians.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I like spent most of my college watching men play video games. So I'm just like, the dissociating sort of comes.
See,
from
when
that.
I was young, that was watching fucking a boy's skateboard.
And you're like,
to get laid, right?
Yeah, literally. I'm just like, maybe if I just sit on this couch for a couple more hours.
Your video game is so good. Oh, you're such a good video game player. I remember being like, oh my God, you're such a good skateboarder. That ollie was great. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, could you flip?
All for dick.
Could you kick flip into my vagina? Please?
We've been lying to men for years just for dick. That's the thing of why men are so stupid and don't get it. It's like, you've never been told the truth. You're not good at what you do. You're not. But you have a dick, and that's what we want.
And so we'll let you. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I wish more people would lie to me about like.
Me too.
Yeah. Like you are so good at picking your acne in the mirror. And I'll be like, me? Okay, I'll have sex with you.
Yeah, you're so good at getting up in the morning and leaving your house.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I got this new job that is like, yeah. that is basically like sales.
I'm
selling theater to people who have seen theater.
Love it. I get those calls sometimes.
Yeah, if you see theater, yeah. that's your problem. If you pay a Ticketmaster fee, honey, you're on a list. I promise you. So don't get mad at people when they call you to offer you a subscription package. It's because you put your phone number everywhere anyway. But I'll tell you, there's nothing more exhausting. Like after every, not a lot of people answer their phones, so it's not oppressive. Like so many of y'all don't answer your phones, you just let it go to voicemail, which is hilarious. Which I get. If I don't know the number, I'm not answering it either. But oh my God, where was I going with that? What was I saying?
The call center flattering people.
Oh yeah, it's a performance because like it's a commission job, so I have to be like
tap dance. Yes.
Ta-da!
Yes.
And then it doesn't always end in a yes. So by the time it's a no and you hang up, you want to cuss.
You're like, I just did my entire.
Yeah.
Like,
I get home tired now. And yeah. I work like 4-hour shifts.
And you're like, well, I'm socially exhausted. Yeah. I've been tap dancing.
But
and,
I needed this to feel creative. I needed to get a job. I mean, I'm lucky that it's, you know, still corporate Broadway. It's what I did in Chicago for many years. But anyway, I digress. This isn't about me. I have three more things.
Yes.
I have three more things.
Okay, let's do it.
Mr. Hard. What do you like to be called? Mr. Hard. Hard. Mr. Hard. Mr. I Hard.
People call me Mr. and Hardly.
Mr. and Hardly. Got it. I like Hardly.
Hardly's cute. Yeah. Like Hardly's like, I'm like a little baby.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Mr. is like, feels more promiscuous.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And we all know that she puts it out there for anybody.
I do.
We've covered that at the beginning of the show. So, all right, just three more things. Just some random things here that I thought out. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, in a country where everything is bad and all distractions are obvious, what is something simple that you love that's just for you?
Persimmons.
What is it?
A persimmon. It's like a little fruit. A fruit. It sort of looks like a tomato, but it's like orange. It's like somewhere between a tomato and a bell pepper, but it's sweet.
It's a, what's it called?
A persimmon.
A persimmon.
A person. A persimmon.
A persimmon.
Yes.
A persimmon.
Which, by the way, great drag name.
No, it isn't.
If anyone's
No. This is the thing. Don't give me any more complicated drag names like persimmonum. Someone. Specificity. Was there so
wait, their name was
Specificity Jones.
That's rude.
It took me years to fucking learn that. And you know who you are, Specificity. She actually does the all of my graphic work for Learn the Words. So I love you very much. But that name was stupid. So yeah. Persimmon. I hate it. But I'm sure it's a delicious fruit.
But
is it a fruit or a veggie?
It's a fruit. And it falls from the trees sometimes. People have like persimmon trees in their backyard and they
like
don't even
here?
Know it. Yes, in California. And so like sometimes I'd go to like my best friend's house and her mom would be like, here, like have some persimmons. But they're just like a little treat and they're nice and sweet and yummy. So whenever you're worried about politics, just have a little persimmon. That's all you need.
God, can I get sponsored by persimmon? Come on. Big persimmon. This is the best commercial you've had in forever, persimmon.
Big persimmon is, yeah.
Big persimmon. The Met Gala is happening, and the powers that be need it to be a distraction this year like crazy. With the theme, Sleeping Beauties, Reawakening Fashion, explain your Met Gala look.
Oh, my. Okay. Sleeping Beauties. So what I'm immediately picturing is like, lots of eye boogers. Like I would do rhinestone eye boogers.
It's Sleeping Beauties reawakening fashion.
Okay, yes. So as you're waking up, don't you get eye boogers?
Yes.
The Sandman.
Yes.
I would be the Sandman. That's where I'm at.
Got it.
Mr. Sandman, dream me a dream. I'd say, wake up. You have eye boogers, rhinestone eye boogers. I would carry sand around with me at the Met Gala.
Why am I so dunced about fashion that I read that as people bringing back decades of fashion? Like that,
oh,
was
like reawakening, yeah, like decades.
Like it would be like, oh, remember how we all dressed as fancy people directly off the boat while we killed the fucking indigenous, that, like that kind of thing, or like yeah, you know, like little boots and nylons and like, or you know, the 80s
flapper, yeah, or whatever,
yeah, the, yeah,
roaring 20s. I really like that interpretation.
That's what I thought it meant.
Yeah, I guess there's,
but they've never got the celebrities, don't, I don't understand why they even give them a theme. They miss so many times on that, and I don't even care. I don't watch it a lot, you know. At one point before the boycott, I was beholden to The View. I don't watch it anymore, but like they always covered the Met Gala. I still watch Kelly, yeah, and Mark. I love Kelly and Mark.
I have to say about this theme too, I think it's too many words. Sorry, Miss Winter.
But yeah, don't give me a dot dot, but a dot dot dot.
And a colon.
I don't need a byline.
It's Sleeping Beauty, it's, or it's Reawakening.
Yeah,
fashion.
What is it? Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Or it's just Reawakening. Or it's just sleeping. Or yeah, like it's too much, and then you're like,
yeah, a lot of these people have been catered to too much in their life, yeah, and they don't know shit. And sometimes they're not nice, and sometimes their stylist will say, fuck you secretly.
Yeah. You know the tea, don't you?
Did you see Kim Kardashian get booed at the Tom Brady roast?
Oh my God, no. I will immediately be like, watching that after this is over.
It was like when she got to the, as soon as she walked to the platform, she couldn't even start her jokes because they were booing her.
Good.
I'm like, girl. And then like, you know, Tom Brady has to like overcompensate and laugh extra hard at her fucking bullshit jokes. I was like, your writer didn't fucking invest in you, honey.
I'm also shocked that at the Tom Brady roast, she was getting booed, because it feels like people, kind of annoying people.
Look,
already
they
are
Taylor Swift people. They are all Swifties now. So they will not have the Kardashians.
It's the monoculture.
She was with that whole Kanye nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I hate myself for knowing any of that.
No, it's monoculture. You have to participate, unfortunately.
KFC.
Uh-huh. My favorite airport
is releasing a perfume that smells like smoke and charcoal. What's your signature scent, Hardly?
Ooh, well, persimmon is definitely part of it. And maybe I like
they smell a certain way too. The persimmons?
They're sweet. They're like a nice little spring. I actually don't know what season they belong to. Maybe spring. Is that why I'm thinking about them? But I like an androgynous scent too. Like
something woody.
It's something.
you would wear this.
Listen, I have to go.
you're gonna get this KFC scent. I know it.
I thought it was gonna be like more of like a chicken related scent, but then when you said charcoal, I was like, I'm actually interested in that.
The way I want the KFC.
Okay, Woody.
So Woody, right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to,
actually, yeah.
You wanted or some form of incense? Like a patchouli or,
yeah,
something?
No, patchouli, I can't.
Oh, no.
I can't.
Too
patchouli.
Many video games. But watching too many boys play video literally games. That was a scent.
Yeah, because they're trying to cover up the scent of weed in their dorm room.
Yeah. Nothing worse than going down on a penis that smells like an essential oil, you know?
Yeah. You're like, what's going on here?
Why is it so woody?
Because I only saw an Irish Spring bar in the shower. And I'm confused how it smells like an essential oil down there.
And that's
there.
Just to keep the bugs out, you, yeah, know? Yeah. Because you fucking saw it on YouTube.
There was no shampoo in that shower.
Oh, my God. Mr. I Hardly Know Her, thank you so much for coming on to the Tony Soto Show. Did you have a good time?
I had such a good time.
Do you want to tell my tens of listeners where they can find you on the internet, and if you have any upcoming gigs, I'm assuming in Long Beach?
Yes, I so my Instagram is Hardly The King. My friend pointed out that the name looks like Hardly Thinking, which I also am hardly thinking ever. But Hardly The King, and so go give me a little follow.
That's a good drag name too.
Hardly Thinking. Yeah, yeah. Steal it.
Hardly, I think, is a good name.
It's kind of like, I thought this is too long of a name. Like, when I came up with this at Akbar drunk, I was like, I typed it into my notes app and I showed it to my friend because we were like out of our minds. And they were like, that's the one. Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. But I have plenty of drag king names in the old notes app. If anyone needs one, just DM me and I'll send them to you. And then I'm doing a show called Reality 4T with Chase Lounge, where I will be playing Jeff Probst and Andy Cohen. So, and that is in LA. So if you want to come to that, and if you're in Long Beach, Black Bar, we're doing a show for Pride Weekend on the 19th.
Oh my God, Pride's just around the corner.
I know. I'm already exhausted.
Yeah.
Day drink. Well, day drink.
I'm open
well,
for bookings.
Tony is available. I'm available.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to let this job take over my life.
You drink Pride Month song.
I'm keeping it 25 hours a week. I was like, they're like, you can do up to 30. I'm sure I can.
That.
Yeah. Not gonna.
Yeah, it's too exhausting.
I need 2 full days off a week.
Yeah.
You're great. I think that your drag is great. I think that it's fun. I think that drag audiences need to pay more attention to kings, and I think
book kings.
I think that when they see campy kings, like, that's a really good introduction, since they've been spoon fed what they think about drag for the past 16 seasons from that fucking game show. So
yeah,
the thing is, I don't get on this whole fight where like every fucking drag artist needs to be on Drag Race. I am in the camp of like, produce your shit and be a creator of something great.
Yes.
But when it comes to kings, and of course our trans sisters who are finally getting their flowers.
Yes.
They've had to watch for years what drag, quote unquote, is spoon fed to them by a game show.
Yes.
So I feel like it's harder for kings to get out there.
Audiences kind of have like a preconceived notion going into a show where there's a king, like they're not gonna be their favorite performer, and I think you should stay open-minded.
Yeah. And in that case, if that's what they think, I think they need to book more than one king per show, because like, you know, look, I get not liking certain drag artists, but it can't be because they're fucking kings.
Yes.
It's gotta be because they're not good.
Yes.
So anyway, I am the Tony Soto Show on Instagram and TikTok. And if you want to see what I'm doing as a crossdresser, it is Tony Soto Productions on Instagram. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye.
That's it.
Oh my God.